And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 101 tonight. Psalms 101. We're going to read this whole chapter, then come back and break it down a little bit, and then move on and turn to some other scriptures. So Psalms 101, verse number 1, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 1, a psalm of David, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Notice that. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Okay? Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Here we have David the king, and he's making some pretty big decisions, and these decisions that he's making in Psalm 101 will affect him all of his life. We know that the reason that David fell was because of something he saw. Right? Notice back in verse 1, he says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Let me just say, Christians, we need to take time to sing to the Lord.
Amen.
Just you. Singing something to the Lord. You ever done that? No one else is around, just sung. Some of you in the shower, you are just great singers, and in church you're quiet, but maybe it's because you're off key, I don't know. But sing to the Lord. Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You know, home should be a haven for your family. Home should be a place where there isn't temptation to fight. When you go out into the world, you have to fight temptation. You go out into the world, you have to fight sin. When you come home, your children should be able to let their guard down. They shouldn't have to keep their guard up at home because of what's being played on the radio, because of what's being played through the sound system, because of what's being watched on the television. Your children should not have to separate themselves from family, and you, maybe you, at home, because you're letting something in the house that's going to hurt them spiritually. Verse 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, did they have television back then?
No.
I don't even know if they had magazines. I don't know what they may have had. This might be saying something about idols. Maybe he's not even going to have an idol where he sees a no wicked thing. But the point that David makes here is that he's going to set no wicked thing before his eyes. So how much leeway does that leave you? None. I guess the question that we all really ask ourselves, though, is how much wickedness can I put before my eyes before I'll be affected? How much wickedness can I allow in my home before my kids will be affected? And then when we start to see our kids affected, oh, okay, well, I need to back off a little bit. By then, may I say it's too late. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know, that also means you shouldn't set any wicked thing before your children's eyes. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He doesn't like the work of those who backslide and don't want to follow the Lord. He says, that's not going to cleave to me. And one reason is not going to cleave to him. Verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, so whoever privately gossips and slanders his neighbor behind their back, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He's saying, look, I'm going to separate myself from people who are not walking the right way. Can two walk together save they be agreed? Let me just say, eventually, if you keep walking with somebody, eventually you're both going to agree. But generally, you don't pull them up. They pull you down. Be careful who you're walking with. Verse number 6, he says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. He's saying, look, I'm going to choose to hang out with those who are walking the walk and talking the talk and living the word of God. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. You hang around spiritual people on purpose. What's that going to help you to be? What's that encourage you to be? It's more spiritual, okay? And this is what David's saying. If you stop and think about it, back at verse number 3, the question that I want to ask tonight, kind of as the title is how much wickedness is allowable? How much wickedness are you prepared to put up with? You know, we've had to purge our movies several times, and who knows, we might continue to purge. I don't know, but I used to draw the line, you know, the Christian line, as, well, we will only have movies that only have a maximum of 2 swear words in it, but they can't be these swear words. They have to be these swear words. And since I know where there are, I'll mute them. Problem is, what happens if the child puts it in at home to play when I'm not there? Okay, we'll go down to movies with just 1 swear word in it. Since then, we've went down to movies with no swear words. If it has a swear word, we're not letting it in. We've had to reevaluate that. And so I want you to ask yourself this question tonight. How much wickedness are you prepared to allow in your home? What should the answer be? Should be none. But I'm afraid most Christians are willing to tolerate a certain amount of wickedness because we enjoy it. Help me. Just me? We enjoy those movies. They're cool. They're fun. A lot of them are action-packed. You know, we'll fast forward through that scene. Well, what happens when you're not there and your child doesn't fast forward through the scene? Help me. And if you stop and think about this, Satan cannot tempt us, listen, unless we see the temptation. Now, we'll throw hearing in there as well for music, but Satan can't tempt you unless you see it. I heard one guy, he was a Christian man, he said, well, you know, I've decided not to drink anymore, and I'm done with alcohol. But he had a 6-pack in his fridge. He says, I'm done. I'm just going to leave that in there. I'm done with it. Now, what should he have done with it if he was done with it? Dumped it out. But he kept it there in the fridge. And every time he went to get some milk, guess what else he saw? How long do you think he stayed away from that? Why? Because he saw it. He kept seeing it. James chapter 1, look at James chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is what? Drawn away. You know, really, for temptation to tempt you, it has to draw you. And if you don't see it, it can't draw you. Maybe it's drawing you because you're picturing it in your mind, but you're still seeing it. So one way to help yourself is to make it so you don't see it. If you struggle with drinking alcohol, don't walk down the aisle that sells alcohol. Amen. Don't put it in front of you. If you struggle with drug addiction, don't go to the part of town where they sell it. Don't place yourself in the position where you're going to see it. Amen. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. So if we allow sin in front of our eyes and in front of our children's eyes, is it going to bring life or death to our home? Death. We don't really think that, though, because we still have sin in our home. Wicked things in our home that we allow in our home because we don't think it's that big of a deal. Maybe you say, well, I saw it growing up and it didn't affect me. Well, your child isn't you. You know, there's some people who they can take one drink of alcohol and they'll never take another drink. It's just, heh. There's some people who take one drink of alcohol and they're addicted for life. Amen? In James 1:16, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err. Well, look, if you're going to try not to err, then you need to also try not to put things in front of you which will cause you to err. Are you with me? Eve never would have tasted of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil if Satan hadn't put the fruit before her eyes and reminded her it was there. She saw it. She saw that it was good for food and to make one wise. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Okay? Look at Job chapter 31, middle of your Bible. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. 31:1. This is interesting. This is Job lived directly after the flood, soon after the flood. And he lived before Moses lived, and God had Moses write the Genesis account. But Job 31:1, Job says, I made a covenant with what? Mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now it's interesting, all the way back in Job's day, that men still struggled with sin. Imagine that. And all the way back in Job's day, though, Job had a recipe to avoid sinning and being drawn into lust. His recipe was, made a covenant with his eyes. He wasn't going to put things in front of his eyes to cause himself to be tempted, to be drawn away, to sin. It's rather simple, isn't it? Job made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He had a plan. Let me just say, if you don't have a plan to fight sin, you're not fighting sin. If you're just taking each day as it comes, well, devil's going to throw something in front of your eyes. He's going to hit you. 1 Corinthians 10:31, listen to this. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, one thing that I'm trying to do, and it's taken me years, and I'm a pastor, and I'm still working on it with our movies, is I would like it to be so if Jesus Christ walked in and sat down on the couch, I would not be embarrassed about what he saw playing on my television. Because he's sitting on the couch with you anyway, whether you realize it or not. Right? I want the music that's played in my car and my home to be such that if the Lord Jesus Christ were riding along with me, I would not be embarrassed about what he hears come through my speakers because he is riding along with me. We don't think about that a lot of times, but he's there. Listen, Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And part of many Christians' problems is they don't abhor sin. They don't abhor, hate, detest that which is wicked. They kind of you know what they do. You know what we try to do. We're all human. We try to play with it a little bit and just we try to control it. We try to rationalize. We're supposed to hate that which is evil, not rationalize it, not justify it. How much wickedness are we supposed to have inside of us? Not supposed to, you know, be ye holy, for I am holy. To be holy, you need to be separated from that which is unholy. To separate yourself from that which is unholy, you have to plan on it. And to separate yourself from that which is unholy, you have to hate that which is unholy. Amen? 1 John 2:15, look at 1 John, back of your Bible. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we've been over this verse before. How much does God love you? Help me. Completely. Can God love you any more than he loves you? No greater love hath a man than this. He laid down his life for his friend. So does God love you to the fullest? Is there anything you can do to make God love you more? Is there anything you can do to make God love you less? While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us in our worst state. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does not mean that God doesn't love you because you love the world. It means you don't love the Father if you love the world. You can't have one or the other. Wait. It's one or the other. You can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I never really understood that expression. I'm still trying to get that one. But I guess it means you can't keep your cake and eat it, whatever. You can't love God and the world. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in righteousness. You got to get all in. Amen? Verse 16, he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the," what? "Eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Look at Genesis chapter 39. And I want to show you something that somebody should have planned against happening. And obviously God used it. He was thrown into prison and then, you know, interpreted some dreams and then rose to the second in command. Potentially God could have done it a different way. I mean, God had told him in a dream what was going to happen. But Joseph, look at Genesis 39, verse 4. "And Joseph found grace in his sight to Potiphar, his master. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph." She cast her what? Eyes upon Joseph. "And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph, what? Day by day. This wasn't a one-time opportunity she talked to him about. She was approaching him every day. So this is something he should have expected, right? Every day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her, verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Now, who was in charge of the house? Joseph. Who told the servants where to go and where not to go? Joseph. Who could have told one of the men to go into the house with them? Joseph. Who didn't? He placed himself in a position to be tempted. And yeah, he'd been tempted this whole time and he's resisting and that's fine. But now he's in a position where she can accuse him and there's no witness. So, you know, she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me, verse 12. And he left his garment in her hand and he fled and got him out. Okay? Joseph should never have placed himself in the position where he had to run. He shouldn't have walked into that situation to begin with. What are you walking into? What are you walking into? Listen to this article. And I hate to burst people's bubbles. Let me just say, you know, we have Old Yeller. It's a Disney film. So I'm not trying to say you can't watch anything Disney ever created, but Disney's changing. This is from CNN News. Disney confirms its first bisexual lead character, who is also multicultural. Luz Noceda, it's about a cartoon called The Owl House. The 14-year-old Dominican, diversity is making its way onto the Disney Channel. Disney has confirmed it has a bisexual lead character on the Owl House series. The 14-year-old Dominican-American girl, Luz Noceda, is not Disney's first LGBTQ+ character. Pixar featured a gay main character in a short film on Disney+. But Luz is the first bisexual character to make a Disney debut on a television series. The Owl House series follows Luz's adventure to become a witch. The Bible in the Old Testament, God said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Witchcraft, you know, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. God's not good with witchcraft. Okay? Witches use spells and things from who? Satan. Maybe not a good thing. Okay? So it follows her adventure to become, or I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, I guess it's a girl, eventually becoming a witch, even though she does not have any magical abilities. At first, certain Disney leadership was not too fond of the idea of having an LGBTQ+ character, said the series creator. I was very open about my intention to put queer kids in the main cast. I'm a horrible liar, so sneaking it in would have been hard, she says in her tweet. I was told by certain Disney leadership that I could not represent any form of bi or gay relationship on the channel. Terrace identifies as bisexual. This is the creator of this cartoon. She wanted to write about a bisexual character, so she really pushed Disney to allow the character. Luckily, my stubbornness paid off, and now I am very supported by current Disney leadership, she said. Terrace has gotten tons of positive feedback from viewers. Many are thanking her for representing the LGBTQ+ community and wishing they had a show like The Owl House when they were children. In Owl House, a teenager finds herself stuck in the demon realm and battles the forces of evil alongside a rebellious witch and a pint-sized warrior. This time, Disney, you did good, said somebody in a tweet. You know, if you just turn on the Disney Channel and walk away and allow your child to watch whatever's on there, guess what you're setting before their eyes? Right. Wicked things. Right. And you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, if my child is bisexual or gay, I'm going to love them still. You know, if you didn't place your child in a position where they're around any of that, they would have no idea what you're talking about. Right. We had a young lady on our church bus who identifies as bisexual, like 9 or 10 years old. This is being pushed on our young people. We got to be careful what we put before their eyes. Amen?
Amen.
How much wickedness are you willing to put up with? Or maybe the question should be, how much wickedness would God be willing to put up with? And maybe instead of you making your own standard off of what God's standard is, you should just claim His standard.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, if the pastor were to walk into your home and one of the movies, if every movie in your home, could it be played? And another church member walk into the home and you wouldn't turn it off. Let me say, if you have to turn it off, maybe you shouldn't be watching it. Amen? And I'm trying to help you tonight. Look, I'm a movie generation. I can quote from nearly every movie of Star Wars. I get it. Something I had to wean myself off of. I stopped Star Wars when Obi-Wan asked Anakin's mom how he was born, and she said, "Where's the father?" And she said, "Well, he didn't have one. He was virgin born." Well, Anakin later becomes Darth Vader. You know, he's the bad guy. So first it's blasphemy saying that he's virgin born. Anyway. Be careful what you put in front of your kids. Just because you grew up with it doesn't mean it's okay now. And it doesn't mean your kids should listen to it or watch it. Maybe you should go back to the drawing board and sit down and say, look at that verse, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes," and say, "Am I? Am I setting anything before my kids' eyes that's wicked?" And you can't excuse that away before God. Amen? I'm trying to help you tonight, and this is convicting to me. Go back to the drawing board. Look, we should be constantly going back to the drawing board. Good, we got one more person watching. I was afraid we were going to lose people. We had two, now we have three. Hey, guys. I was like, oh, I didn't want to hear this sermon. Go back to the drawing board and say, what is the standard in our household? Does our standard line up with "set no wicked thing before mine eyes"? If it doesn't, fix it. I've taken movies out of my home where I knew where the cuss words were and I knew what scenes you had to fast forward, and I was like, okay, I'm going to put them in the community aid bin and we'll get money for them. But then I'm like, well, why do I want to put something before someone else's eyes? So I put them in the dumpster. Amen? If David never would have saw, David never would have fell. That's the only thing. That and numbering the people. The only thing that David had against his record. And I'm trying to help you protect yourself by helping you understand you can't lead yourself into temptation and then pray, "God, deliver me from evil." You can't leave beer in the fridge and then say, "God, please help me to quit alcohol." Get it out of your house. Whatever it is you're falling to, remove it from your presence. Get it out of your house. Don't tell me you're trying to defeat it if it's still in your house.
Amen.
Don't tell God, "Well, I'm trying, Lord." If it's still on your shelf, in your kitchen, in your fridge, in your car, "Well, I'm going to try and give that up." Well, if you didn't get rid of it, you're not trying very hard. You're preparing to fail. You're preparing for a regress. You're allowing yourself to fall again by making yourself feel better that you're not falling right now. So you can justify falling again because you had 5 good months, I can have 1 bad day. That's not how it works. Amen?
Amen?
I feel like I'm beating the dead cow, so. We'll go ahead and close the message here, and then we'll have a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, our annual revival is coming up. And Lord, for you to be able to revive us and just motivate us and excite us and fill us with your Holy Spirit's power and fullness. We need to empty ourselves of that which would hinder it. Maybe it's a certain kind of music. Maybe it's certain kind of movies or favorite television sitcom. Maybe it's some friends we've been hanging out with that bring us down spiritually and do not motivate us and encourage us and push us closer to you. Lord, may each one of us tonight self-examine ourselves, not look at anyone else, not think about someone else's home or what someone else might be fighting, but our heart, Lord. And may each of us pray tonight and say, Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. God, may we walk down the paths of righteousness on purpose by setting aside the weights and the sins which easily beset us. Lord, we can't ask you to deliver us from temptation when we keep it and keep it before our own eyes. Give us wisdom. Give us the strength to cut out that which is the sinful cancer that's eaten on us and bringing us down. And help us to walk worthy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.